Hi, I'm Darren Wright.
And I'm Tim Beadle.
Welcome to Disciple Making.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of our podcast, Darren Wright, Tim Beadle, Disciple Making. Last edition of the podcast, really, I gave a testimony and an update of a disciple-making movement that is beginning in my local church. I'm the pastor of Disciple Making. We've just had an event where close to 100 people came, and they're hungry and thirsty to learn more. The outcome of all this, and we stated it up front, is we are called to be fruitful and multiply. Mm. And multiplication is something I know is close to your heart, Darren. You've done a lot of work thinking and have produced something recently. And so you're going to give the lead to this podcast. I'll add comments and ask questions along the way. So take us away on a journey of multiplication.
Sure. Yeah, that's ultimately where it heads. It takes a while to get there, though, doesn't it? Both personally and in a ministry situation. And you know, way back, I think our people have heard some of the story back in the late 90s, I wrestled through the question of what is a disciple, in terms of character. And that's where this DNA of a Christ follower idea comes up, with those foundational character traits like loving God and loving people and being holy and several others in there. And really, I wrestled that through. I've taught on it. I've written on that. But the next obvious step has been how? How do we actually make disciples? It's one thing to be like this. How do we reproduce that? And that's really been the question I've worked with in life and ministry for many years now. In recent podcasts, we've been sharing a draft idea I'm working on called the Missional Living Map, where we've talked about the different things that need to happen in a person's life to move them from being a quote, believer, maybe a passive believer, consumer believer, to being actively engaged on mission. We walked through, 8 steps. The 9th one is multiplying. But just by way of review, we talked about being saturated in the gospel, resting in the finished work of Christ and being Christ-centered and self-feeding. Talked about the need to be involved with other people. And I know, Tim, for me, just the fact that we talk like this every week or two is so encouraging and motivating for myself, that there's a huge need. You can't do it by yourself. There needs to be this mutual encouragement and sharing. So they need to be partnered with someone, that we need to be equipped in the basics of how to, something as simple as discovery Bible studies, how to use our gifts and abilities. We need to be released into ministry in some measure. We need to sometimes shed some things. Hebrews 12, throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so often entangles, just dealing with some of our stuff that so it doesn't interfere. And really, the importance of this, Tim, and I haven't really riffed on this a lot, is if we're talking about reproducing ourselves, we want to reproduce from a place of wholeness in Christ, not perfection, but wholeness in Christ.
That's right.
And not reproduce things that need to be dealt with, and not reproduce, bad attitudes and crazy ideas, but reproduce the person and the character of Jesus.
Amen.
And then we talked about, winning the lost, of course, and developing believers, which, building them, equipping them. And now we're talking about, this is where it's all been going. From, passive believer, sitting in a pew, taking sermon notes, maybe if they're a keener, to now stepping out and being on mission, wanting to multiply themselves, multiply other groups. And so, the question that we've been exploring and moving into, and you've been doing it in your context, and I'm in my context with 12 Church, how do we do this? How do we actually multiply? And that's what we want to talk about a bit today, Tim.
Yeah. And, I think God is saying in the background, why has it taken you people so long?
We're slow.
And we've sort of been distracted along the way. And that's why, over the last years, we've done these podcasts and, we've all been part of legacy churches. And that's mostly what all people know and what they're trained. And very few people have even really seriously wrestled with what it means to be a disciple maker or on mission with Jesus. We're simply just keeping the wheels on the bus going, as it were. And with COVID the last few years, we're scrambling to recover. Mm. And in my experience, when we disciple through a discipleship program, it never seems to get to the place that you're about to talk about, where we're actually multiplying. Sometimes we have evangelism class, how to share our faith, but it never comes to the point where someone, you know, crosses the line of faith and we don't say, okay, on to the next one, but rather we walk with them until they grow to the place that they can actually replicate the experience with someone else. And again, I like what you said in this multiplication video about cloning yourself. Really what we're doing is we're trying to clone the image within us in someone else. Mm-hmm. Like a disciple is someone who lives their life as if Jesus is living it within them. So we don't lose our uniqueness. We aren't being assimilated. But through adoption and association with Jesus, he sets us on our way with all authority on heaven and earth and with the assurance that he's with us. But the command is to make disciples that make disciples, and that equates to multiplication.
Yes. Well, and Tim, you know, I just reflecting on some of the internal journey I've had to take, and I know a lot of believers have to take to get to that place. You know, your Christian life might start in some measure where someone says, all you've got to do is invite Jesus into your heart.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it starts, and then you're going to heaven, and that's this whole story. And that's where it starts for a lot of people. And then we discover that actually we're called to repent. So we believe, we repent, and then we're to follow him. We are to be a follower, a student, a disciple of Jesus. And then we realize we're actually called to join Jesus on mission. And we might think about evangelism or serving people in different ways, which is all good. But then we understand what we're talking about today. We're called to multiply ourselves. And boy, Tim, the journey from just accept Jesus into your heart to multiply the life of Christ that he's poured into you, into others, there's a big gap between those two ideas.
Yes. However, we shouldn't be threatened that we can't take the journey because we are designed. We're designed and made in the image of God. We're spiritual beings. And so therefore, if we can really focus, like focus your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, this will happen supernaturally within us. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing. And you know, the character qualities that continue, you don't have to have this all figured out before you start either. To lead someone, you have to be one step in front of them, but you have to be heading in the right direction. And also you have to have community around you. You know, you alone can do it, but you can't do it alone. You need to have those around you. Like Paul said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. So we're in a quick succession here. There's a plan. Jesus is the one that we're ultimately imitating. But also another term of disciple is an apprentice. And recently I met with some people. I said, okay, so an apprentice has a skill that they're learning to become more proficient at. What is the skill that we're learning as an apprentice of Jesus? And it's not only becoming like him, but I believe it's learning to make disciples and make disciples.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I more and more, Tim, when you put on the disciple-making lens and reread the New Testament, you see it all over the place.
I know.
You know? Obviously, Great Commission. It's not just make converts, make disciples. But even things like Ephesians 4, where it talks about equipping the saints for works of service. That's about disciple-making. It's about releasing people into the ministry, into the mission of God. And I love that you flagged, and we flag this passage often, Tim, is follow me as I follow Christ. You know, to be a person that's worth following, a person that's worth imitating. The way I've described it to people is, if everybody was like you, would the cause of Christ be advancing? Mm-hmm. You know, is there something in you that is worth multiplying, worth imitating, worth, you know, somewhat cloning, if you want to use that terminology? It's a little more, you know, more flexible than that. But it's really about being like Jesus in character and in passion for those apart from him and inviting others to join you. I think that's really what it comes down to.
It starts from the inside out. You know, in the book of Acts, people looked at the disciples and what they described them like this. Who are these guys? They're uneducated men who had spent time with Jesus. And I think that time that they spent with Jesus was where they had their characters changed because they had made several decisions about what it meant to follow Jesus. They counted the cost. They hadn't got it all figured out. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit came upon them in Pentecost, kaboom happened. And I think they lived lives for Jesus and died terrible deaths, refusing to forsake their love for Jesus because they had true life change. And they realized that counting the cost for Jesus was all worth it because they could see others coming into a loving relationship. And then the news of the gospel would spread wherever they went. not just out of their mouths, but out of the mouths of those that they had worked with and helped them find Jesus as well. So that's how it all started a ways back.
Jesus, they saw him, he taught them, they imitated him, that, you know, he sharing the gospel of the kingdom and delivering and healing people. You know, they watched him pray and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Like, there's just a lot that happened from the time with him. And in a way, that's almost like the teaching side, though there's modeling and apprenticing as well. But then the empowering of the Spirit, yeah. You know, and it's always got to be both of those things. And we can be so content focused that we think we just learn enough stuff, we'll be able to reach people and make disciples. But it's all got to be empowered by the Spirit, because he fills in the many gaps that we have and puts power behind our words and our actions in the life of others. And yeah. So, you know, that's such an important observation of the life of the disciples.
Yeah. In terms of your sort of number 9 lesson, what are the salient points that we need to be aware in that, that if people were to check out this tool that now you've created up on Facebook, I was just looking through it last night. It's excellent. What would you want people as a takeaway to really say, yeah, okay, this is something I'm going to have to grapple with into the future?
Well, I mean, looking at the whole map, not just the multiplying, you know, there's really some internal issues. You know, people really need to understand and embrace and rest in the gospel. I think, you know, until that happens, we really shouldn't be reproducing, because we could be reproducing legalism. We could be reproducing guilt. We could be reproducing a yoke that doesn't fit, that isn't the yoke of Jesus. You know, so we really being gospel saturated, Christ-centered, understanding it's about him. It's not about me. It's not even about the church. It's about Jesus himself, you know, learning to feed. So there's those internal sides. But then there's the team side, where we've got to be associating with others. But I think just the idea, Tim, that the end game isn't get saved. The end game isn't go to church. The end game isn't even to be in a small group. The end game is to multiply. Yeah. And that between where I am right now and being an effective multiplier, there's a gap that needs to be bridged by the grace of God, some knowledge and some empowering in the Spirit, some input from others. And that I will, with his help, set my face as a flint towards that destination. Because that's, as I shared in that video with your group last week, this is what it's all about.
It is.
This is the great adventure. This is the call. And we've got to, with God's help, figure it out. And it requires, as we've talked in the past, unlearning, you know, and relearning. Requires humility of saying, I don't have it figured out. And I confess that almost every day we're trying to figure out how to be disciples and make disciples. But just to set the trajectory that with God's help, I'm going to be a multiplying disciple maker.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, this is really a new wineskin that needs to be filled in the church, because you can't stuff this and try to make it fit into the traditional church as just another program. This is not a program. This is a lifestyle. And this would become a cultural shift in a traditional legacy church. And it's going to take time, a lot of grace and patience. But when you start seeing early fruits, it's amazing how excited people can get. We had a week of prayer last week at our church. And on one of the nights, they were featuring our Alpha program. And they had a young couple who just like 2 or 3 weeks before had both accepted Jesus. Huh. And, you know, we don't really celebrate conversions in the church. Now, we do baptisms. But to actually hear the raw testimony of two people, professionals, who through discussion, prayer, had realized that the thing that they were missing, the fellow called it, you know, the higher power, was actually the person of Jesus Christ. And it all made sense. And then everyone clapped. And inside, I was saying, okay, so what does the church do for people like that now? And fortunately, because this was part of my role, I've found disciplers who will come alongside this young couple. And they're being discipled actually by the table leader from Alpha, who's continuing to meet with them with New Life studies to help them get rooted. But I could see in no time that the reason this couple came to Alpha is because a friend invited them. I could see them inviting other friends in their social networks rather than extracting them out of every other social network and get them into the church, to actually encourage them and join them in their social circles, whereby seeds can be planted and a life with a difference can be experienced by others. And then, yeah, let's use the programs of the church, of course, and invite other people to come to Alpha, where they too can go on the same journey. But it's always we always have a prayerful posture that God is at work, and we're going to start doing and seeing things that we haven't seen before in the church. And hopefully that doesn't cause people to be alarmed, but to praise the Lord that something is happening, maybe even a bit of a revival down the road that hasn't happened because we've just settled for the status quo of being in a church and do the things that we always do. So maybe it's time for God to sort of push us out of the nest, teach us to flutter our wings a little bit. And yeah. I think you're one of the leaders who's helping us do that, Darren.
Oh, yeah. No, I recall this is an old saying or comment from years ago where somebody once said that, you know, why would God give you a bunch of new babies if the nursery's not ready? Yeah. That, you know, until we're equipped and ready to deal with new believers, a raft of new believers, it would be counterproductive for there to be a big wave of people coming to faith because we wouldn't know what to do with them. And we try to mass produce and we try to, you know, just kind of quickly do a little teaching, but we wouldn't be into multiplication, which takes some time.
That's right.
You know, it does. And, you know, one thing I hear, one thing I'm learning by observation, both in my life and the lives of our people here, is that it's never as linear as we want it to be.
No, you know,
it's never as step one, step two, step three. It's a little bit more like this and maybe a little bit two steps back, three steps forward. It's messier, more challenging, but it is, you know, when the Spirit of God is behind it, there's this forward moving impetus in a person's life. Right. Where he just continues to roll forward. I just met with a fellow the other day, bumped into him at a group. I visited another group, an independent group in the area, bumped into this fella, fairly new believer, such a passion for the lost. He just wants to learn how to share his faith. And he's been texting with me these last few days as he's been meeting with people at work saying, here's the situation. You know, how do I interact with someone who's in this situation? And just, you know, he's still got a lot of stuff he's doing in his life, but he's already on mission. And I absolutely love that. He knows it's not about getting it all figured out. He's kind of ready, fire, aim, keep following and get rolling. And I really, some of us who are perfectionists have a hard time with that, but that's the way it works in the real world, in the disciple-making world.
I think the Lord's been teaching me since I started this role as disciple-making pastor sort of 5 months ago. I'm like that. I like to have things organized and predictable before I pull the trigger. But he's taught me, slow down to my pace, watch what I will do in you and through you. And when I've done that, it's just amazing how things have just all aligned perfectly at his appointed time, meeting new people, having opportunities to give a word, a faith testimony. And I sort of like the pace of this, Darren, to be honest with you, because we're not, all we're doing is we're following in the steps of Jesus, and he's doing the work of drawing people to himself. And we're the audience and participants in just clearing the path. It's like John the Baptist, clear the path, you know, for Jesus or Andrew, like come and see, you know, bring people to Jesus, come and see. And it's very humbling, but also it's very challenging in terms of our own walk that, as you said, we have to make sure that if we're going to multiply, we're multiplying a version of Jesus, hopefully, not of what we want people to think about us or affirm us in. And so that's the challenge. Multiplication happens naturally all around us. 7 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer, I've watched those cells multiply, leukemia, multiply my body exponentially. We look at dandelions on the summer lawn. They multiply, as do rabbits and a lot of other things in the world. But we've never really seen that equate in just the call and commission of Jesus to multiply souls for the kingdom, and then those people go and multiply as well.
As we move towards landing, Tim, I just want to flag something you said. You talked about you like the pace, And what I believe is, in fact, I just did some teaching on this, that I believe that when we're engaged on mission with Jesus, it is sustainable, that it doesn't require us, you know, sacrificing our spiritual health, our physical health, or our family health.
That's right.
That there's a sustainable pace in following him. And yes, we know there's possibility of persecution, et cetera, but it's a sustainable pace. It's an easy yoke. He's the one who sets the pace. And I love that picture. And I look forward to, you know, continuing to walk this path, following the promptings of the Spirit. I so appreciate the way you've poured into me. And again, what you're doing in your context there, multiplying. And that's the destination of disciple making, in a way that we are seeking to become multiplying disciples and to trust God to teach us what it takes to get there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, friends. And keep us on your short list for podcasts, because we have lots more to share. We've been at this now since, I think, March 2021. And boy, it's almost 3 years coming up. And we're just scratching the surface. It's crazy. And we're learning so much ourselves. So join with us. Darren Wright, I'm Tim Beadle, Disciple Making. And may God richly bless you in your journey to obey Jesus and follow him.
Thanks for joining us. For more information, go to imakedisciples.com or christfollowerdna.com. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.